welcome to Ridgecrest Baptist. We thank you for listening. Now, here is this week's message.
Worship is what brings joy to our heart in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Joy is a part of Christmas. Worship is a part of Christmas. We have come to worship the Christ child, just like the shepherds did 2,000 years ago, just like the wise men did to come and to open their hearts and to lay gifts before the Lord in worship of Jesus Christ. And really, worship is what Christmas is all about. And I hope that as we enter the Christmas season, that all of your activity and all of your thoughts won't be about Santa Claus and about gifts, the giving or the getting of gifts, that it won't be about all the hustle and the bustle and the families and all the other things that are going on. But I hope that Christmas will be a time where you draw into that genuine worship of our Lord. That's why we're here, to worship God, to praise God. That's why He hasn't carried us on to heaven. Think about it. Once you're saved, you've got heaven, and you're going to be spend eternity in heaven. I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. But that Jesus is leaving us here for a purpose, that we can worship Him, and we can bring glory to Him, and we can share with others what Christ has done in our life as we worship Him. That's what brings joy to our life. Joy is a part of Christmas. Christmas and joy are synonymous. They go down the same path. They're intertwined. You cannot separate the two if you experience Christmas as it's really meant to be. When Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, he writes only four chapters, but in those four chapters he mentions joy 16 times. In those four chapters, he shares the joy that he has in the Lord and with that church at Philippi. Again, as it was this morning, this little part of our text is part of a prayer that Paul is sharing with the people. And he shared with them that as I pray with joy. Notice that. I'm praying with joy because of our partnership that we have together in Christ. Let me just say that as we come together tonight, there ought to be joy in our heart. And Christmas ought to be a time to renew the joy in your life. We worship Jesus. We follow Jesus. He's the head of this church. He's the head of our lives. And together and singularly, we are here to worship the Lord who promises to bring joy into our life. In fact, He promises, I am come that you might have life, and that it might be to the full or abundant, more abundantly. He came that we would experience joy in our life. With that in mind, let me share with you the text for today from Philippians, the first chapter, verses 3 through 6. Paul is introducing this letter to the people of Philippi, and he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day unto now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I wonder sometimes if we really listen to what Jesus tells us about His coming to bring joy in our life. This has been a hard year for a lot of people. Some of you have gone through some very difficult times in your life. It's hard to talk about joy. It's hard to talk about this fellowship and this walk when you're going through difficult times in your life. It's difficult to talk about joy when your heart is breaking. It's hard to talk about joy and to feel joy in your life when you're grieving over the loss of a loved one. It's hard to talk about joy when it seems like your whole world is falling down around you. And yet Jesus says, I've come that you might have joy. I've come so that you will experience the fullness of life in your heart and in your life. In fact, in John 15:11, Jesus says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You see, in the Christian life, we are to be the ambassadors of joy to a world without joy. Well, how can we do that? When the burdens of this world are upon us, how can we live in joy? We do it through our worship of Jesus Christ. We do it when genuinely within our heart we acknowledge to God, I submit myself before you. Talked about that this morning. And I place myself in your hands. And God, I trust you to take care of me, to fulfill the promise that you have made. And with my life in God's hand, regardless of what comes, I can live in joy. Paul says, I always pray with joy. Whenever I pray, I always pray with joy. In verse 3, he tells us the first of three things I want to share with you tonight concerning that joy that we have through worship of our Lord. And that is, first of all, concerning the church, about the planting of the church. Notice that he says here in verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. If you'll go to Acts, the 16th chapter, later on, and read that chapter, you'll see where Paul and the circumstances are surrounding that, where Paul first went to Philippi. Paul had been praying and seeking God. And Paul's intention, and he had tried, according to the Bible, he had tried again and again and again to fulfill his intention to go on a missionary journey to Asia. He was going to go east. And God kept shutting the doors. And he didn't understand it. But he listened to what God was saying and what God was doing. And when God shut the door, Paul said, all right, Lord, I hear you. You see, sometimes when the Holy Spirit is working in our life, we need not only to hear the Spirit say to us to go, we need to hear when the Spirit says to us, no. When the Spirit says to us, I don't want you to do this. When God is leading us in a different way from where we sincerely feel that this is what we need to do. Sometimes God just simply says, no. Now, if you think about it, if Paul had gone east to Asia instead of west to Philippi, if he had gone east to Asia, then China and India would now be sending missionaries all across the world to America. But God said to Paul, no, you're not going east. Paul, I want you to go into Asia Minor. I want you to go into Macedonia. And in particular, you will go through Philippi. Philippi was the gateway to Europe. Now, this ought to start to make some sense to you now. Philippi was the gateway to Europe. It was a Roman colony. It was a Roman city. It was considered to be one of the chief cities of the Roman Empire. They almost, in every practical way they could, Philippi considered them to be a city of Rome, a city of Italy. It was the gateway to Europe. And because God and His Holy Spirit told Paul to go west into Philippi rather in Macedonia rather than to go east to Asia, the gospel of Jesus Christ came across Europe, came to America, and America is the center of mission activity throughout our world today. Now, Paul didn't understand at that point exactly what God was going to do. But he trusted God. And he says, I am always thankful and always so grateful for every remembrance I have of you, Philippi, the people of Philippi. Now, what he was saying is, I am thankful because every time I remember your past. I said all that to say this. When you're feeling down in the dumps, when you feel like the joy has drained out of your life, look at what God has done and how God has led you in your life and in this church. Paul established and built that church at Philippi through a lady named Lydia, a slave girl, who became a steward of that church, through a Philippian jailer who saw God work in a miraculous way. And he and his entire household came to know the Lord. The church was founded and rose up so that you here today have heard the gospel, and you are a part of the work that God is doing, not only in and through this church, but in and through this country. We ought to thank God and worship God because of what He's done in our past. This year, middle of October, this church became 60 years old. Did you know that? This church celebrated its 60th birthday this past October. I want you to think back. Many of you were raised up in this church. Many of you have raised up your children in this church. Some of you have raised up your grandchildren in this church. God has blessed this church. God has always been faithful, hadn't He? He's been faithful to Ridgecrest Baptist Church, even when we have fallen short. I always thank God for every remembrance that I have of what God has done in Ridgecrest Baptist Church. I can't say that it's all been fun, but I can say we've all been blessed. I can't say it's all been easy, but I can say that God has been faithful and that God has led us through the good times and the bad times, but God has been faithful. And it ought to bring joy to our heart that He has blessed us, listen to me, that He has blessed us with the privilege of being a part of this great church. I shared with some of you last Sunday night, that I have pastored this church longer than all the other churches I pastored put together. You just haven't been able to get rid of me. But God has blessed me. God has blessed us. with the privilege of growing in Him, being blessed by Him. What am I saying? Just as Paul thanked God for the church at Philippi because of what God had done in their lives, every one of us here today, we ought to thank God for what God has done here at Ridgecrest Baptist Church, for His hand upon our church, for His Spirit moving within our church, for the privilege we have that God has placed us here and given us the opportunity to serve Him. Folks, we don't love our church like we ought to until we come into worship together and remember what God has done in planting this church. Faithful members, faithful people, that 60 years ago, God put a burden on their heart to start a new work on this side of town, to start a new work in a new growing area of at that time. And obedient to God, when God told them to move, they moved. When God put up the barriers, like Paul, they stepped back. But God has been faithful. I thank God for every remembrance that I have, that you have, of God's work in this place. It brings joy to our heart. Notice that Paul also talks about partnership, the partnership in the church. Paul knew and he realized that what had taken place at Philippi was not what Paul was doing. It was not Paul's accomplishment. It was God's work and God's accomplishment that was causing this great remembrance. And he said it's in the partnership that we have in the gospel. The partnership in the gospel. Now, here's what he's saying. All of us have something in common here tonight. We have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. All of us have not only heard the gospel, we have experienced the gospel, and now we share the gospel. All of us have heard the gospel that changed our life. We experienced Jesus Christ. We experienced and applied that gospel to our own heart and our own life. And now we share it with others for the glory of Jesus Christ. We are in a partnership as a church. And that partnership is with each other. That partnership calls us to love one another, to bind together. It doesn't mean we always agree on everything. We don't. But that's a good thing. Hear me. It's a good thing. Because we need to hear different viewpoints about everything that goes on. Because the different viewpoints cause us to look to the Lord Jesus to get His viewpoint so that we can follow Him. We're partners. We're to love one another. We're to support one another. We're to build up one another. We're to help one another mature. And when our brother or our sister, when they fall, we're to restore them gently in the Lord. We're partners. But we're partners not only with each other. We're partners with the Spirit of God. And notice how that Paul describes that in the partnership that we have. In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day now until now. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, The scripture says, Paul says, for we were all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we're all given the one spirit to drink. Now here's what he's saying here. The partnership that we have involves our partnership, our walk in the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God, as we submit ourselves to Him, that leads us to worship, that leads us to joy. We are to be in tune with the Spirit of God. Let me say this. A lot of times, folks, we are more resistant to the Spirit than we are receptive of the Spirit. Too many times, the Spirit convicts us and we begin in our heart, in our mind, to make excuses. We begin in our life and in our mind to try to justify or rationalize what the Spirit is convicting our hearts about, because we don't really want to face our sin. But we're partners in the Spirit. And the Bible tells us that because we're partners in the Spirit, we're partners with the Spirit of God, that God will always confront us about our sin. I preached on that a few weeks ago. He is going to confront us with our sin. It's all right to be uncomfortable. In fact, it's necessary to be uncomfortable about sin in our life so that we will have a desire to eradicate it from our life through our confession of our sin that the Spirit is convicting us of. We're partners with the Spirit of God. I cannot emphasize enough the wonderful privilege that is. As I was preparing this message and thinking about this part of the message, it just was burdened and laid upon my heart what a privilege it is to know that the Spirit of God is in this place. Because God could remove His Spirit. And if God removes His Spirit, then this will become a dead, dead, dying place. You ever been in a dead church? You ever been in a church where it just seemed like it was dry and there was nothing happening? Folks, I've been there. When the Spirit of God is moving because we're in a partnership with Him and the people of God are seeking the Spirit of God to move within their hearts, that church, it doesn't matter if there's a few people or if it's overflowing with people, that church will be filled with a joy and with a peace and with a genuine worship. You know why? Because when we work in partnership with the Spirit of God, then He causes us to confess our sin and we are restored into a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And when we're in that right relationship with Jesus, there's peace, there's joy, there's additional worship. In fact, as I've shared with you so many times, real worship does not take place until there is a change in your heart. Until your sin is confessed, and you have experienced forgiveness, and you turn in that oneness and in that fellowship back with the Lord. And in that renewal of joy, because of renewal of fellowship, you will worship because your life is changed. It's a partnership. And that partnership is with Jesus Christ. 18 times in the book of Philippians, Paul uses words like in Christ, in the Lord. 18 times. 16 times he talks about joy. There's a relationship there. There's a correlation there. Our joy is in the Lord. That's why Christmas is a time of joy. That's why when we sing Christmas carols, we're singing joy to the world. That's why when we sing Christmas carols of a God rest ye made gentlemen, we're singing tidings of comfort and joy. There's joy in your walk with Jesus Christ. We are partners with the Lord Jesus. There's two things that came to my heart. It come to my heart as I think about that. One is, Lord, what a joy and what a privilege that you choose to partner with me and you choose me to partner with you in what you're doing in this world. The second thing that comes to my mind is, oh, woe am I. I'm so unworthy. I fall so far short of what I ought to be and ought to do. And yet you still partner with me and you invite me to take your yoke upon myself so that you walk with me, so that you allow me to accomplish what I could never, and listen to me, what I would never do on my own. Paul is praying for the partnership in the church. Cherish it. Hold on to it. He's praying for the purpose of the church. That's number three. You'll notice that he in verse 6, he says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Here's what that says to me. God's going to use me. And God's going to work in my life until He decides to call me home, or until He decides to come and get me and rapture me away. He's going to do in my life, fulfilling His purpose in my life. You can say the same thing. God is going to fulfill His purpose for you. You may not see it. I don't see it all the time. We may not see what God has in store for us in the coming days, the coming months, the coming years. But God has a purpose. And God is going to fulfill His purpose in our life. Now listen to me. God has a purpose, and He's going to fulfill His purpose in this church. And the gates of hell itself will not prevail against this church. God has greater things for this church than has ever been accomplished to this point. And I want it to be drummed into your heart and into your mind in these coming months that God is not winding down the work of Ridgecrest Baptist Church, but God is renewing and starting anew what He wants to do. It'll be more exciting. It'll be more challenging. It'll be more of a time of joy and experiencing God in your life than you've ever had before. Because God is at work. And God's purpose will be fulfilled. This church is all about Jesus. This church is all about Jesus. He's the head of the church. And we're going to follow Him. And we're going to walk in Him. And we need to look with anticipation. We need to look with joy. We need to look with excitement about what God is going to do as God fulfills His purpose for Ridgecrest Baptist Church. And God fulfills His purpose in each of our individual lives. And let me tell you something. It's a time, in a time of change, in a time of transition, in a time when God is working out His will. It's a time for us to bind together. It's a time for us to love one another more. It's a time for us to get behind what God is doing and allow God to fulfill His purpose for this church. If the truth is known, for every one of us, we need to pray just like Paul was praying here. God, You blessed us in the past. God, You're working in the partnership of the present. And God, You have a purpose for the future. Lord, let me be a part of what You're doing. Just as You've been, as I've been a part of what You have done and will continue to do. What does that mean for us? It means that we come together in oneness, in submission, and we commit our heart and our life to Jesus Christ, to partner with Him, to walk in joy and in worship by submitting ourselves to Jesus, by committing our hearts anew to being the church that He wants us to be as He fulfills His purpose.
We hope this message will help you in your spiritual walk and growth. For more about Ridgecrest, please visit us on the web at www.rbc-tuscaloosa.com. Have a great day, and God bless.